Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the house of God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, King of glory, eternal rock of ages, I am that I am, the one who was, who is, and is to come. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your faithfulness that is new every morning. Thank you for the privilege to be in your presence this morning, Lord. Lord, I cast out every distracting influence, oh God, that's going to make our minds stray away from your word. Lord, I pray and I thank you because you've not given me a spirit of timidity, but you've given me a spirit of power, of calm, of a well-balanced mind. Lord, I pray that you speak to your children today. Just use me as your vessel. May the words not become mine. They are yours, oh God. Lord, I pray you speak to me, oh God, through me, oh God, and to me, Father. At the end of it all, may your name be glorified. May we bring to remember, you bring, oh Lord, to remembrance everything we learned today. May we have find rest for our souls. Thank you, Father. Thank you, King of glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are free to rest. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Everyone, please turn to your neighbors and say, God loves you. And you are free to rest in him. Amen. So this morning, we're going to be talking about rest, not physical rest or inactivity. We're going to be talking about rest as it pertains to our souls. Amen. To rest is to be free from anxiety or disturbance. To rest is to be free from anxiety or disturbance. It's to remain confident, to be placed or supported by a steady anchor. Assuring of God, who is our steady anchor? Amen. So what is the state of our hearts as we wait on the move of God? Are we anxiously waiting for God's promises, or are we waiting in the rest of God? Are our hearts at peace and rest because we trust in the faithfulness of God, or are our hearts stayed on fear as we try to confess the blessings of God through the strife of life? Are we weary and heavy laden because we don't see, what we see doesn't yet match what God promised? Have we gotten so weary that we have forgotten that God is our source of rest as we journey through life? Or have we gotten so weary in waiting that we've forgotten that God is our prize and the best of everything we need or desire can be found in him? Amen. This is a call to rest our weary souls on our anchor, God. A lack of rest will feed anxiety and will lead to negative confessions. And as we know, the word says that a man eats the fruit of his lips. And we don't want those negative confessions to come to fruition, right? Good. It is a call to release stress and anxiety, to uncover the peace and rest that comes from abiding in God's presence. It comes from abiding in his word. It's a call to guard our hearts from straying from where we want it to be. We want our hearts to be stayed in perfect peace, right? It's a call to snatch our hearts back from the grips of stress and anxiety and transit to the manifestations of that which we are believing God for, of that which he promised us. It is a call to walk in freedom and undeniable peace that are our birthrights as children of God. It's a call, it's an invite to dance in the rain instead of anxiously looking at the face of the clouds, right? You are free to rest in transit. Let's look at Galatians 5 verse 1. I'm going to read from the AMPC version, translation. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered or held ensnared or submit again to the yoke of slavery which you have once put off. So I'm going to give some scriptural facts of why we should rest in God. We are children of God, and all the promises of the righteous are ours if we believe. God said it himself. His faithfulness and mercies towards us are renewed every morning. You didn't have to ask for it. It's there every morning. So why are you anxious? Why are we worried? Yes, the problem is there, but God is there. So number one, you are free to rest in God's love. Everybody say, I am free to rest in God's love. So John 3:16-18 tells us that God loves us so much and desires us to be in fellowship with him, so much so that he sent his son to die for our sins, that we wouldn't be condemned. And all we had to do was just accept this love, right? Did anybody have to earn or anybody claim to deserve God's love? No? No? It just is. You just get to accept it and confess it, and then you become new, a new creation, a child of God, right? Mm-hmm. Even his word said God loved us while we were yet sinners, right? God loved us while we were yet sinners. When you think about God's mercy, he took a bet on us. Like, we didn't have to respond to the work of the cross, right? But God is like, I'm going to put everything I got for these people because I love them and they are mine. And I want to reconcile them to me so they can come boldly. So in Isaiah 43, verse 4, God says to us, you are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. God loves us. Paul in Ephesians 3:16-19, the NLT version, it says that, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. May you be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen? From that, what I just read, we see that we are loved with a love that is larger than life itself. A love that is too wide, too long, too high, too deep to fully understand. It's an undeniable love, mostly experiential, right? It is a fact that we are free to rest in this undeserved and unearned love. So, as we journey through life and all the crap that life can bring, we remember we are free to rest in God's. Amen. So number two, you are free to rest in God's goodness and process. I am free to rest in God's goodness and process. Psalms 145 verse 9 tells us, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. We know this to be true as children of God because as we ponder on our own lives, we can't but think about the goodness of God. Waking up today was not by our might or by our power. It's not by your alarm. You can test it. Put it beside a cadaver and see if the cadaver will wake up. Right? Natural laws, gravity, the air we breathe, the workings of the human body. I can't help myself. I'm a science major, so. The beauty of creation, art, science, the work of the cross, our own life's testimonies. They all testify of the goodness of God. Can I get a witness? God said that he knows the plans he has for us. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We serve a good God and we need to learn to trust his process and his goodness. We need to learn to recognize strife for what it is. Just testing. You guys hear that? Just okay. Okay. Romans 5:3-5 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So we need to recognize strife of life as what they are. It's just refining fire. It won't burn you. Just see them for what they are. It's just God's process of purifying our faith. Isaiah 60 verse 22 says that when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. So our times are seasons are in the hands of God. If you could do the things we look to God for, we would have done them ourselves if we had the power to. But God says that when the time is right, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. Let's look at Mark 4, 35 to 41. Okay. So this is the story about when Jesus was sleeping in the storm, and he said, "Peace, be still." What manner of man for real? I mean, he's storming, but okay. Anyway, so Mark 4:35 said, "That day when the disciples came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" You know, we need to learn to discern what God is saying from what he did not say. Let us go to the other side. And we see that in the next verses. Can we have the next verse? Next one, please. "A furious squall," I don't know how to pronounce that, "came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped." And in verse 35, we saw that God said that, "Let us go to the other side. So come what may, let the earth uproot," I mean, whatever happens, God already said, that's Jesus, I mean, Jesus is God, right? Already said that, "Let us go to the other side." If God said it, that's exactly what's going to happen. No matter what kind of storm, I don't know the worst natural disaster, no matter what, God is going to get us to the other side because he said so. And we need to learn to trust his process, right? His ways are far beyond our ways. His thoughts far above ours. He knows our times and seasons. As uncomfortable as they may seem, we have to trust in his goodness and process. God does not lie. He's not a man. I can lie to you, but God doesn't lie. He's never failed. He won't start now. My third point, you are free to rest in God's wisdom. Everybody say, "I am free to rest in God's wisdom." So Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways." Psalms 147 verse 5 says, "How great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension." If we were wise, we are wise in the name of Jesus. But if we knew what to do, what steps to take concerning the things that we go through, we would have done that ourselves, right? But God is saying that if you don't understand, if you don't know, I know. His understanding is beyond comprehension. Who can understand the mind of God? When you think about how Jesus came through Abraham, like you can't even to piece it together, all the people, all the lives that had to happen, all the events that had to happen. Who can do that but God? Isaiah 40 verse 28 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. There is no limit to his wisdom." So what are you going through? What is so hard about life? You're a child of God. You're blood bought. You can rest in God's wisdom. Amen? So, the fourth point, you are free to rest in God's power. Say, "I am free to rest in God's power." So, Jesus is able to calm the storm within us and around us. We see in Mark 4, 35 to 41, the storm of life obeys Jesus. Let's see it again. Let's start from verse 40. So this is after the disciples woke up Jesus because he was sleeping in the boat, right? He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Next one. They were so terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's look at verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. The storms of life obeyed the voice of Jesus. In the very next verse, we see chapter in Mark 5, 1 to 8, we see the man with the legion demons. Let's see that. Next one, please. So when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Do you know how much you'd be going? Lord have mercy. What kind of strife is going on the inside of him that he could not even be bound? For he had often been chained hand and foot, and he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Next, night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. Someone that cuts himself. Someone that could not be bound. But at the presence of Jesus, Jesus didn't even have to say anything. The demons, the turmoil on the inside, they bow to the presence of Jesus. Our inner turmoil bows to the presence of Jesus. And because of that, we can rest in his power. God himself said his words, and they still ring true today. In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" I mean, you better have enough power to be able to make such a claim, right? Is anything too hard for the Lord to do? In Genesis 18, verse 14, God reminded Sarah of his power even when all hope that made sense was gone. She was post menopausal, right? I mean, come on. Every hope that made sense, gone. But this is what God told her. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. And Sarah will have a son." Post menopausal. Amen? Y'all, she was way, I mean, listen. Matthew 19:26 says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." All things, not some things, not they things, not these things, not that things. All things are possible with God. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 2 says, "But now, O Jacob," I'm going to put Zion, "but now, O Zion, listen to the Lord who created you. O Zion, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you," right? We're blood bought, amen? "I have called you by name, you are mine." Ooh, I belong to Jesus, amen. "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." You even look like what you've been through. Thank God for that. Jeez. Imagine looking like what you've been through. They will not burn you. The flames will not burn you. They're only refining fire. Oh, amen? In Psalm 77, verse 19, it says, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. So, you mean that when we go through deep waters, God is with us. And who can part the seas? Who? God? You see, when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, it makes me think of the Israelites when the Philistines were coming behind them and the Red Sea was in front of them. I mean, at that point, you're like, I surrender. I want to run in again. But God sent the mighty east wind. Let's start from verses 13 in Psalm 77. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are a God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. God even said that, who can free the captives from the captors? When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, a pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. That's God. If they didn't wait on instructions from God, we didn't know that even the seas can obey the voice of God, who had power to send the mighty east wind. It was God. So when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, God is there. He knows the way through that rock. Right? When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. So whenever we face things, instead of worrying about how we get out of there, we should just sit back and relax and try to enjoy the process. Like, what way is God going to answer this one? Is he going to part the water? Is he going to break through the rock? Just sit back, watch, and relax in the power of God. You are free to rest in the power of God. Rejoice. Be of good cheer. God can do it. Is there anything too hard for him to do? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord your God is an eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. He doesn't go tired or weary. There is no limit to his wisdom. There is no limit to his power. No limit. Our God is mighty and powerful. He's the God that can answer by fire. If you don't believe me, ask Elijah and the prophets of Baal, I don't know how to pronounce it, in 2 Kings. Ask them. They will tell you. We are free to rest in God's power. My fifth point, Jesus invites us to rest in him. God cares about the states of our hearts. If it was not so, he wouldn't tell us in Matthew 11, 28 to 30 come to him all who labor and are weary and heavy laden for rest. God wants us to rest. If it were not so, he wouldn't tell us not to worry in Matthew 6. He wouldn't tell us to not let our hearts be troubled in John 14, verse 1. Believe in God and believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. But we do that. We let our hearts be troubled. But it's okay. We don't have a high priest that doesn't know what we're going through. He's been there. He had to endure the cross. Jesus died a cursed man's death for us. We
People say, oh, he died a sinner. No, no, no. He died a cursed man's death. The Bible says that the one who is the one on the tree is cursed or something like that. Right? For us, he wants us to rest in him. As children of God, we're supposed to rest in God. No matter what you're facing, God is faithful. He's never failed. He won't start now. Hebrews 4:16 says, we are free to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace as needed. Right? As needed. As you need it. Come. Come. I said don't let your heart be troubled, but you're troubled now. Still come. Come boldly. Come boldly. He's the one who gives us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. God, oil of joy for mourning, beauty for ashes, a garment of praise for heaviness. He wants us to come to him for rest. Yes, it's hard. Life can be hard sometimes. I know it. I've been there. How old am I? I mean, but come rest in me. I have your times and your seasons in my hands. Is there anything too hard for me to do? There is no limit to my wisdom. I'll trade you beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning. Come! Instead of listening to the noise of your worries and focusing on the problem, too hard to figure out, while in transit to the manifestations of God's promises, we need to listen to the voice of the Lord. Allow your joy to come from God and his person, regardless of the circumstance. Stop paying attention to the storm. Pay attention to God. The psalmist said, David, he set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That means God wants you to be restful enough to eat, right? In the presence of my enemies. I mean, I cook for myself and I go grab food. Sometimes I eat on the couch. Sometimes I eat on the dining table. Mom, sorry. Sometimes I eat in my room. But when someone sets a table before you, it's about to be a 5-course dinner. It better be relaxed, right? He wants us to be relaxed enough to eat because you throw up. Jesus said in John 16:13, in this world you will, as far as you're here, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's Jesus. I have overcome the world. Is there anything too hard for me? I put a bet on you. Give my life for you. What else? Is there anything too hard for me? I have overcome the world. If you will have tribulations, I mean, just rest because you already know, right? God has already proved in himself that he's well able to calm any storm. Within us, outside of us, he is willing because he said so. He said it. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He said it. We didn't have to say it for him. Did you have to ask Jesus? He said it by himself. Come to me. He is willing. He is willing. And he is more than able. Someone said that fear not is in the Bible 365 times, so one for each day. I mean, I don't know. I didn't bother to look it up. But he said it more times, more than enough times. Be not anxious. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So how do we find rest for our souls in God? When you're tired, when you're burdened and heavy laden, just trying to figure out things after a long day. Your spouse is acting up. Find a quiet place. Be still in the presence of God. Set the mood. Play worship music. He's your Father. It's a place of fellowship, of relationship. It doesn't take long. Students, 15 minutes in a day is not too much. 5 minutes. Come and let God fill you up. Invite the Holy Spirit. Ask him to be your strength. We're not without help. He sent Jesus. Then Jesus left. Then he sent the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a good Father? To be a comforter. To remind us. Because we forget. I forget. We forget that God is able. We let ourselves get worried and troubled and rattled. Invite the Holy Spirit. Ask him to be your strength. Lay bare your unrest to God. Ask him to trade you his peace. Ask him, rather. Beauty, God, here are my ashes. Right? It's a trade. Lay your unrest. God, I'm worried. And I don't want to be worried. I know I shouldn't be worried, but I am. He knows, he can read your heart. So what's the point? Right? Remember that Jesus said that the kind of peace he gives is not as the world gives, but as he gives. The world only gives you peace when everything is fine. But the kind of peace that God gives, even in oppression, even as you go through rivers of difficulty, you have peace. Because you know who you belong to. You know whose you are. Amen. Amen. The kind of peace that he gives reigns in and out of the storms of life that stares us. Meditate on the word of God. Let the word of God be your light. Trust in what he says, and it will be your peace. The song said, standing on the promises of God, you stand on the word of God. Hold on to it. It's your anchor. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure at the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot be moved, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Hallelujah. Find out what God says about what you're going through. Are you sick? Then surround yourself with scriptures of healing. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does the temple of the Lord look like? Find out in the Bible. So if my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, no sickness is allowed in me. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let that be your light. No matter what the diagnosis says, let that be your light. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd. Let that be your light. Hold on to it. Everything you have. You're not without help. You can be stronger than the might of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Pray the scriptures of rest over your life. God said, I have not given you an anxious spirit. No. I'm not giving you a cringing spirit. No. I'm not giving you a fawning, fierce spirit. No. I've given you a spirit of power, of boldness, of calm, of a well-balanced mind, of self-discipline, of self-control, of love. Declare that in prayer over your life. Roar them. You're a child of the lion of the tribe of Judah. You can roar. Roar them in the place of prayer. Cry out to God. Thank him that he has not given you the spirit of fear. He's not giving you an anxious spirit. I refuse to be afraid. Refuse to be scared. If you're scared, run to the rest of the Lord. Remember the times they helped you. All the believers, the people in Scripture. We're reading about David and Bread of Life. See how many things he had to go through. But God saved him from each and every one of them, even the things that were his fault. God promises to help you and never leave you. Talk to him, trust in him, be still, and you will hear his calming voice and rest upon his strength. Calm your thoughts and the contrary suggestions of the enemy by bringing them subject to the cross of Christ. That's what the word says. The enemy is like, you're not going to do well. You're going to die. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You're a liar. The Lord is my shepherd. I know it's frustrating. We've all been there. In your chest pain, affirm the promises of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I am his. When I go through the rivers of difficulties, I will not drown. A fire of oppression, I will not be burned up. No, the Lord is my shepherd. I belong to him. That's what you should tell the enemy. Confess the word of God constantly, every day if you have to. I used to be so scared of public speaking. Oh, Lord. And they can all testify. Look at them. You know. But I said, God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You've not given me an anxious spirit. That's what you should say, even if you're scared. Say it. Don't worry how it will happen. His ways are not your ways anyway. Just say it. Just trust and say the word of God. Say it in fear. Just say it and believe it. It will happen. Let that be your focus. It will happen. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, he will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him. You cannot constantly ponder on rest and then have unrest. It's not possible. It's not possible. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. That's what will come out because you've meditated on the word of God constantly. Even if things don't work out as you intend them to work out, God said, I will make straight your path. So we can still trust in God, even in disappointments. Disappointments. That happened to me recently. But the Holy Spirit said that, is it not me? Am I not yours? Like, you belong to me. Don't worry about it. Let them take the job from you. Let them not approve your OPT. It's fine. It's fine. I'm your shepherd. I was crying. I had to stop crying because I almost died. I'm about to die for a job. For real? You know? I'm going to say, now you're done crying. Come to me and I will give you rest. It's okay. You don't know what step next to take. It's fine. I know it. I would make straight your path. Stay anchored. God will do it. Remember that his ways are not our ways. His paths are not our paths. His thoughts far above. Stop worrying about how it's going to happen. I know. We like to have control. I have to constantly remind myself of that passage because I'm like, God, how is this going to... It's like, okay, sis, sit down. God will do it. Yours is to believe. Focus on the who. God. Who? God. Philippians 4:6-8 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Rest in God's word. Trust it even when life gets hard. Remind your soul about the capable hands of God and rest in the word of God. Let the word of God delight your heart. The Lord is my shepherd. Hey! I will not be afraid. I refuse to fear. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Delight yourself in his word. Confess the things that worry your heart at the feet of Jesus in prayer and affirm God's promises. God, I'm here again. No. You said in your word, beauty for ashes. Yes. And it will give you beauty for ashes. People look at you and they're like, oh, her life is so perfect. No, it's not. But I have the peace of God. God is my shepherd. That is my peace. I refuse to fear. You know? John 15, verse 7. Can someone please put that up? John 15, verse 7. No? Okay. Okay. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And my words remain in you. That's the way to rest, in the word of God. What is God saying about what I'm going through? If his word abides in us, then we will be at peace. Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, who amongst you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you're walking in darkness, without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. Rely on your God. 2 Peter 2:19 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. You will do well to hold on to the light that shines in the dark place. Hold on to the word of God until that day of manifestation comes. Until the day star arise in your hearts. Let God be your light. There's no way out of this thing. But I know who. I know my who. I know who I belong to. I know I'm a child of God. I will rest in him. I mean, if it doesn't work out, God, everybody's watching. I belong to you. God will make it happen. He doesn't fail. He's never failed you. He won't start now. He won't start anytime soon. The Bible says God is faithful. Even when we're unfaithful, he cannot help himself. He's God. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. Stop running helter-skelter. Find a quiet place. Rest in the word of God. It doesn't have, come on. Rest in the word of God. The verse 18 says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. We would do well to take heed to the light that shines in a dark place. To that small light. The small light. Small light, more like it. Until the day star arises. Anchor yourself on the word of God. He is the price. Is there anything you need? You can find it in God, even bigger and better. It comes from knowing who you are. Pastor has preached so much about identity. Meditate on the word of God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? You now know. You have now heard. God is faithful. in seasons that look like they are to shake and stare and scare us, when turmoil arises within and without, God says we are to anchor our entire human understanding. Pretty sure I didn't anchor my entire human pounds on this, but, you know, get the point. We are to anchor our entire human understanding in absolute trust and confidence in His goodness, in His power, in His wisdom, through His word and in His presence. This is how we find rest in transit. This is how we find rest as we wait on the manifestations of God, on the move of God. This is how we find rest. Lean in everything you have. Even if you don't believe. I mean, Jesus was talking to that man. He said, and just asked him if he believed. And he said, help my unbelief. God is everything, everything you need. You're His child. It's okay. He knows it's scary. But you're to anchor. We're supposed to rest on Him. In fact, to rest is to trust. Invitation to trust in Him. Keep our end of the bargain. Rest. Trust in me. Believe in me. Believe also in God. If you don't remember anything to this sermon, remember that we can and we should anchor ourselves, our entire human understanding, in God's goodness, power, and wisdom. May the Lord bring to remembrance all that we have heard in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm assuming the students are done. Okay, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord was resonating in my spirit as I sat there, that there is not one person here that this message was not for. There is not one person in this place that this message was not for. God wants His people to rest in Him every day. Out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes. The Lord gives a word for even those who feel like they are real mature. And they know very well us leaders. That message was from the greatest to the least, from the least to the greatest. And He wants us to rest and trust in Him. He's got us, amen? Every situation. I personally have a deep situation going on right now in my family. What is your situation? Is it of a financial nature? Is someone on the brink of divorce? Separation? Maybe you're about to be evicted from your home, your apartment. Maybe there's a health crisis. Maybe you're a long way from home and someone in your home state or country is in a crisis situation. Maybe you personally are in a crisis situation. The message said rest. And you know, she said something, a part of what she said was she talked about David. She mentioned David. and how even some of the things that he did was his own fault, but God still came. Even if you were in a situation and it was your fault, God is still here. He wants us to rest. That is so very strong in my spirit this morning. For each of us to rest, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own finite understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Do you believe that? Let our coming to church, our sitting in Bible studies, our prayers, let them not be in vain. This is the place where God wants to bring us, a place of rest, a place of trusting Him. May we learn, and may we learn it well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you for your daughter, who, God, you have used in such a mighty, mighty way. Thank you, Father. Your love is so amazing that you will reach so deep to find us in that place that only you can bring us out of. Your love extends to every situation that we find ourselves. What we share and that we don't share. Every tear that falls from my eyes, you see and you know. Every heartache, you know. Every one of us has a situation that we need to rest in. A situation that we need to trust you, Lord. Father, help us today. May we not discount what we have heard this morning, but may we hold it close to our hearts. Lord, that we wouldn't be like that individual who looks at himself in the mirror, and as soon as he turns from that mirror, he forgets. You have caused us all to look in the mirror this morning, and you have shown us that thing or those things in our lives where we need to relinquish and trust you. What are we hoping for? What are we waiting? Upa kasiere bokosha. Hallelujah. What are we waiting for? What are we expecting? Are we anxious, Lord? Are we worried? You have said this morning, don't worry, my child. I'm with you. You are saying, don't worry. You are with us. You are with our family members. You are with that crisis situation that we left. You are with that crisis situation that we're going to. You see every need, and you want us to rest. You want us to trust and know that you have it. You have it. Thank you, Lord, for your children that you used, your young adults that you used this morning, through the worship opening, everything that they did this morning, the scriptures, the hymn, everything. Thank you, Lord. You are so gracious. You are so loving. You are so kind to meet each of us at our point of need, all at the same time, not knowing what each of us are going through. You spoke to each of us this morning. Thank you. Thank you, Father. To your name be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God.